along with my friend John Davidson. John is engineering and producing the show, as he did yesterday, ably sitting in for Ray Allen. Ray taking a well-deserved couple days off. So we are ready to go here with our midweek edition, August 23rd, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We live stream the show. It's the wonderful thing about this live streaming. You don't need to have the radio on at home or in the car, but if you're by a computer anywhere in the world, great signal, perfect quality at buckmastershow.com, which also has the KVOI.com stream. So we've got you covered there. We also have you covered on the live line, 790-2040, for your calls and comments and suggestions as well. We're also, of course, on Facebook and try to do Twitter, but Facebook seems to be our first preference. Let's go now on the live line. The Ward 6 Democrat Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek. Councilman Kasachek, how are you, sir?
Doing absolutely well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing very well. Thank you for asking. And it's always nice to ask people back, how are you doing? I was talking to one of my credit card vendors today, and this very nice gentleman said, you know, Bill, you're the first person, and this was like midway through this person's day, Steve, to say, how are you doing?
Well, okay, so that's good. Reciprocity is a good thing sometimes. I'm starting in my newsletter a new way to open them up by looking for examples of these random acts of kindness that you don't cost you anything, but sometimes can change a person's day. So maybe I'll use that one next week.
Yeah, please do. The Attorney General for the state of Arizona, Attorney General Mark Brnovich, who was, by the way, a very frequent guest on this program, but since he's become Attorney General, if any of his people are listening, we'd love to have him back on the program and not just make this kind of a deal when he is running for re-election to be on the radio. Okay, said that, but he responded to, he was very happy with this Arizona Supreme Court ruling last week that the City of Tucson ordinance allowing for the destruction of guns that are either turned in by the public or come into the city hands through the court system is now preempted by state law. He thinks this was a huge victory for the citizens of this state.
No, it wasn't. It was anything but that. It was it effectively makes the City of Tucson the state's arms dealer, irrespective of whether or not you as an individual take your personal property to the City of Tucson or any jurisdiction in this state and say you want it, you want your weapon taken out of circulation. It's your personal property. These civil libertarians, in air quotes, who in other instances say that you know personal rights and personal privileges ought to prevail in this case because it's a gun, say they don't matter. It's not a win for the citizens of this state, because what it does is it simply eviscerates the whole notion of home rule. We're a charter city, and we're one of several here in this state. The city council did not invent our charter. It was voted into place by the citizens of this community over 100 years ago. The courts have determined time and again that the charter is our constitution. We have won cases up to the district courts that validate that. And so for Mr. Brnovich to take the position that taking the local decision-making option away from that level of government, which is closest to the people, which is another mantra that we continue to hear from civil libertarians and the people on the right wing, and I would share it as well. Let's make the decisions close to the people. Those are the ones most affected. The decision by the state Supreme Court pulls the decision-making ability away from the constituents here in the City of Tucson and effectively allows somebody from another jurisdiction to invoke their values on this community. I think it was a bad decision. It was also ignored, and in fact, the Supreme Court punted on the most important part of the case, and that was the the question of the constitutionality of the law on which it was brought. SB 1487 was the basis on which we wound up in front of the state Supreme Court, and they did not, they chose not to even address the issue of constitutionality, even though they had asked us to respond to that question in our briefs. They just took a pass on it, took a position that the destruction of guns is what this is all about. It, in fact, was not all about that. It was more about home rule. It was more about local decision-making, and it was more about the constitutionality of SB 1487. So by allowing it to stand, we are compelled now to either do a couple of things. Number one, we can rescind our ordinance, which allows the police to destroy guns if people want them destroyed or if they come into our possession through through the court system. Or we can dig our heels in and we can say, no, we're going to ignore that and we're going to leave the ordinance in place and force the Attorney General to put our state shared revenues at risk. That's about $115 million. That would be irresponsible, in my opinion, for us to do that. Joe Arpaio thumbed his nose at the court system, and you see how that's ending for him, although he may wind up getting pardoned. I doubt Trump is going to come in here and pardon the city of Tucson if we thumbed our nose at the court system. So we will do the right thing, right in terms of the law, and rescind that ordinance. But I think it was a bad court decision. I disagree fundamentally with Mark Brnovich on his characterization of it. And to me, it shows a gross hypocrisy, not only from the Attorney General, but from the newly packed state Supreme Court, from the legislature, and from the governor.
A couple of big stories. Really, it's been a pretty big news cycle here in the last 24 hours. Of course, these do not affect the city council directly, but let's face it, TUSD is the second biggest school district in the state, certainly the biggest here in Tucson. Your opinion on a couple of those stories breaking. The new superintendent will be Dr. Trujillo, who is from inside the system. Do you know him? Is this a good choice on your from the way you see it?
Yeah, I've had dealings with Gabe, Dr. Trujillo. Good guy, knows the system, knows the players. My sense is that with the condition in which the governing body of TUSD is right now, very divided, at each other's throats on lots and lots of different issues, if they can agree on hiring a superintendent and it's not a 3-2 vote, as so many of them are over there, then it's probably a good sign that this guy is walking in the door with the support of his governing body. I think that's going to be healthy for the system. I understand Mark Stegeman's objection. He felt that they should wait to announce it until they had successfully negotiated a contract. I understand the principle he's arguing for, and yet in this case, it's highly likely that they're going to wind up successfully negotiating this contract. And I think from the standpoint that this is the we're early in the school semester. Let's send a message to the district, to the students, to the teachers, to the parents, to the community, as you indicate, that we got somebody in the saddle and somebody that we all being the board agree on. We have confidence in. The guy's been serving as interim for quite a while, and let's give him a shot at it. And I wish him all the success in the world because. It's fundamentally important position, and he's demonstrated over the last several months that that he really does have his finger on the pulse of the district, and to the extent that he's got the confidence of unanimously of the board, with that one exception of that the single issue of the negotiating contract. I think it's a good sign for the district, and I hope he does well.
And a federal judge ruling Mexican-American studies that legislation was racist. How did you – one of my Facebook friends said that you said a long time ago when this Mexican-American studies issue came up that you were not on board with MAS. I want to ask you about that. Do you want to clarify your position?
I'm not sure ever having said that I was not on board with MAS. I'm not sure where that came from.
They cited a 2010 interview that you did with John Justice. I'm just passing that along from a Facebook post.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what the quote was. okay. I'm not going to run away from it. I guess I'd like to see it. The thing has been through the court system ad nauseum, and again, the same thing. You know that we've had this upheaval at the superintendent's level. This thing has been a distraction in the court system, a waste of resources. If we can put together a program, a curriculum that allows students to proudly declare their pride in their ethnicity, it's inclusive and everybody is welcomed into it, and it's a learning experience. You know, Bill, in this country right now, in this community right now, we are so divided, and any opportunity that we have to bring people from varying backgrounds into the same space and learn from one another and grow from one another's own unique backgrounds and experiences, I think that's a healthy thing. And if this court finally slam dunked the whole issue of litigation on this, let's bring it back into the classroom. Let's bring it back to a point where we can sit in the same room at the same time, coming from varying backgrounds, and learn how to get along and learn how to have conversations with each other instead of hurling insults. And I am really concerned about the direction that things are going, and to what we saw in Virginia last week and the protests all over this nation that are just absolutely unhealthy and unproductive, violence. We just got to find a better way to do it. So whether or not the system, the program was good 7, 8, 10 years ago is irrelevant. The point is now we have a court system that said it was founded on racist. I mean, the lawsuit was founded on racist motivations. Put it behind us. Let's find ways to get along. Let's find ways to work together for the progress of this community instead of fighting all the time.
Amen to that, Steve Kasachek. I say three words. Let's move forward when it comes to TUSD, and I think that's good. We've got a superintendent. We've hopefully got the MAS thing behind us. More to come with Steve Kasachek because we've got a couple of city items I want to bring up definitely with him, but let's take the break right here. We'll be back with Steve K. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday at noon, a newsmaker interview with Congresswoman Martha McSally, plus Tucson City Council candidate Gary Watson. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI. We've got our worldwide live listening, podcasts, and the complete show archive on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Ward 6 Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek is with us. The mail-in ballots should be in the mail, Councilman. I guess if you're sending them in, you better do so quickly, correct?
Well, this is Wednesday, and
yes,
the election day
Tuesday.
Is Tuesday, so yeah, you better do it, because it's got to go from here to Phoenix and back to get across the street.
Yeah,
the way the government's doing our postal system. So
are there polling places still in the city, or is it all mail-in?
No, you can carry the ballot in. They have to make provision. Well, they have to make arrangements for provisional ballots and those kinds of things. So you can actually do it up until the day. But the most convenient is to get it in the mail and get it done. Make a call. Check the box.
How about this hotel? What is formerly known as Hotel Arizona downtown? Apparently, there's some movement to kind of clean. We were talking about kind of moving forward. Are we moving forward to finally settle this matter?
Well, I hope so, but I hope so with a couple of caveats. 7-8 years ago, when I was first elected, I was very adamant and continue to be very adamant that any hotel that we build, any these kinds of capital improvements, should not be subsidized by the taxpayers. We had our Garfield Traub Hotel of Sheraton that was supposed to be going in 8 years ago. It was the price points for the rooms were wholly out of line with what this market would bear. The taxpayers were going to backstop the debt service on it. At the time we were having the conversation, we were seeing these kinds of convention center hotels go belly up all over the country. And in fact, the city of Phoenix did finance theirs at about this same time. And they are hemorrhaging millions and millions of dollars, still trying to offload that boat anchor up in Phoenix. They can't sell it. They can't sell it at a loss because of the trouble that these kinds of high-end hotels are having in terms of surviving. So with that having been said, we have the AC Marriott that's going to open up next month that was privately funded. We have we're in discussions right now for another one of the Marriott brands called Moxie that may well go in, again, private dollars. We're in beginning conversations with the Caliber Group out of Phoenix, another privately funded hotel that will go immediately adjacent to the TCC. If HSL Properties wants to ante up their own cash, private dollars, to infuse that hotel, upgrade it, renovate it, that's great. They are perfectly entitled to come to Rio Nuevo or the city and apply for the same kinds of incentives that the other hotels have gotten. But those incentives from the city can only be given if the hotel passes an economic analysis that demonstrates that any incentives we give pass the gift clause test in the state constitution that says that we cannot give incentives away that are valued at more than the taxpayers get in return. So it would be great if this could be the fourth in the series of hotels, AC, Moxie, Caliber, and an Arizona hotel, if they want to open that back up again with their money, with appropriate incentives as the constitutional gift clause allows us. If you combine all those together, that is about 600 rooms, if I'm doing the quick math right, which is getting us pretty close to where we ought to be for a community our size in terms of having the hotel room space downtown that we need to start attracting the major conventions that some of which we're missing. So it'll be a good thing. It depends on the way in which the deal is presented to us. Rio Nuevo is not subject to the gift clause. It's a difference between us and them. So if they want to craft a deal in a way that incentivizes that hotel, they have different kinds of restrictions, or we have different kinds of restrictions on us than Rio does. Long answer to a short question, but yes, it would be a good thing. With a caveat that it depends on the details in the deal.
I remember 15 years ago when the city of Tucson was thinking about really getting into the hotel business. You remember that too, I'm sure, about a convention hotel downtown. And Phoenix went along with it, and look what happened.
Right, exactly. That's the point. So yeah. we said no to Garfield Tribe in 2010 because in fact, I remember the conversation. It was a study session. I turned to one of the owners of the corporation, and I said, if this is such a screaming deal, will you take the downside risk on it? And he said no. So, okay, and that answered the question. So, no, we walked away from it. But the difference between that and this is we're talking private sector dollars risking their own capital as opposed to us risking taxpayers' money.
All right, and before we go, and I've still got about 4 minutes, but we were talking at the top of the interview about the gun ruling and the court ruling on Tucson guns, and I should have pointed out, and I'll do so now, that you have an op-ed on this in the Arizona Daily Star. And I want to do kudos to Sarah Garrett Gasson, the editorial page editor over there. The editorial page is looking really good. And talking about moving forward, I think the Star is really moving forward. They've got a new publisher over there. They made some new hires, and I think they're doing a great job.
Yeah, I do too. I always appreciate the work that they do over there. I've got a good relationship with several of the reporters with the edit desk also as well. Just in the last week, I've been in touch with Jill Spitz over there, the new editor. And I think they're doing a good job. They received some pushback because the perception, if not the reality, was that the editorial page was too left-leaning. And so now they have some counter-opinions going in. They are also allowing people from a local perspective to write guest opinions on a more frequent basis, and I think that's healthy as well, because as you know, it's our hometown paper, and we ought to be using it as a venue through which to express local opinions. I would add to that, though, while I agree with you with what Sarah's doing over there and Jill and the rest of the reporters. Dylan Smith and the Sentinel is also doing a wonderful job, and so he's the online local voice, and people need to support that as well. And that's a nonprofit, and they can take any kind of donations that people are willing to give them to keep that, again, another good local news voice up and running.
And thank you for bringing that up. Of course, Dylan's a good friend of our program. And again, I say amen to Steve Kasachek today. And in our theme here moving forward about golf courses, I've got less than 2 minutes. What are we going to do there? Is one of them going to be jettisoned or what?
Well, maybe. And I don't mean to be coy, but we have five municipal golf courses in this community. Should the city be running five golf courses? Probably not. Should the city have our toe in the water for some piece of that industry? Yeah, we probably should, because it has a significant tourism impact. So what we need to do is we need to right-size that enterprise. It isn't, excuse me, it is an enterprise department for the city, which means it needs to financially make its own way. I'm not convinced that it ought to be an enterprise because of the tourism and the other kind of incidental positive impacts that aren't captured in the direct profit and loss, costs and revenues. So we'll have that conversation. I suspect we will not have five courses that we are owning and operating as a city, but also realize that every one of those five courses has encumbrances built into what we can do with them. We can't simply sell off a Silverbell course and turn it into an industrial park. That's a function of the conditions that were built into when the city bought the land however many years ago. So it's a conversation we'll have. My guess is we will not have five courses at the end of the conversation. They will have some sort of public open space, public parks or some sort of opportunity once we get done with the discussion.
All right. That's going to do it for Steve Kasachek. When is the next council meeting? Are you on a summer schedule right now?
September 6th, a couple of weeks out, and we have a couple of pretty important items coming up on it. One is a major development that's being proposed for out on the east side, Saguaro National Monument East, a 16-acre commercial. It'll be a pretty contentious public hearing, and the other one is a discussion of our sign code.
We will talk to you soon. Thank you, Steve Kasachek.
Thanks, Joel. Appreciate it always.
All right. Steve Kasachek with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're at our midway point of our midweek here on Buckmaster. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
The Arizona Wildcats kick off the 2017 football season on September 2nd with Fan Appreciation Night and an exclusive bobblehead giveaway of NFL superstar Rob Gronkowski. There are several ticket packages, including one that guarantees you your own Gronk bobblehead. Go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB to buy your tickets now and learn more, or call 621-CATS. Single game tickets start at just $12.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, one of our fine sponsors. I am so proud of the people that sponsor this program in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They do a great job in promoting their lovely area of the United States, a beautiful area, certainly of the Southwest. It's about 3 hours from Tucson to the Silver City area. You're going to find 10 to 15 degrees cooler, which is always nice, isn't it, in a Tucson summer. So much to do in a lovely environment. I strongly suggest visiting southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the great places to stay and the great recreation opportunities in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. State Senator Steve Montenegro is going to be challenging in the primary, the Republican primary, the current sitting Secretary of State, the second highest elected office holder in the state of Arizona, currently held by Michelle Reagan. Steve Montenegro was first elected to the Arizona legislature in 2008. He served in the House of Representatives until January 2017, holding several positions, including Speaker Pro Tem, Committee Chair, and House Majority Leader. He is in the first term of his time in the Arizona Senate. And Senator Montenegro joins us on the live line from Phoenix. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. It's great to be here with you, Bill. Thanks for the invitation and to all your listeners as well. It's great to be here with them.
Tell me, why did you decide to do this challenge to Michelle Reagan?
Well, I appreciate that the question. Well, first of all, you know, here in Arizona, we want to make sure we have competent and effective leaders, especially when we're dealing statewide. We're dealing with the entire state. And I think that these last few years, the current Secretary of State has proven that she's been anything but that. And for us as Republicans, for me as a Republican and any Republican, you know, it's not easy ever to primary. Primaries are never fun. But when we have a sitting Secretary of State who's a Republican, who has been incompetent, who has been liberal, and who has broken her promises, I think that's when primaries become important or necessary. And for myself, I can tell you that I have a record now as a legislature of being effective. You know, the things that I say that I will do, I do. And I think that we have served as leaders in the state, we've served as leaders in the legislature, and we've shown folks that we have been effective. And that's how we should be running things. So I am looking forward to making this case before the voters. And when we're dealing with the few last years, like I said, of the Secretary of State's office, not only do we have Attorney General's investigation, not only do we have that are looking into some of the mistakes that they've made, we have a host of different errors and mistakes coming out of that office that show that, you know, we just, in Arizona, we can't have that from a state leader.
Do you think, of course, as Secretary of State, if you were to be elected, you would be in charge of Arizona elections? Do you think that immigrants are voting illegally in any kind of numbers that could change elections?
Well, certainly, you know, this is the Secretary of State's office works in conjunction with the counties. The counties are the ones that handle directly the election. So the main goal and the main job of the Secretary of State's office is to make sure that we're working with the counties and making sure that they have the tools necessary to ensure that elections are being done with integrity and that the voters have full trust in the process. I mean, that is what makes this country great, when our democratic system of elections. And so that's the first thing. The second thing is, you know, I think that it's very important for us to understand that nobody agrees that voter fraud is good. Nobody. We need to make sure we know if there's voter fraud and where it is. And we have to be working diligently to make sure that it's not happening in the state.
When you were in the House, you sponsored HB 2281, which banned Mexican-American studies. And yesterday, late yesterday, a federal judge ruled that that is racist legislation. Have you had a chance to read the opinion?
Well, I just happened last night. I haven't had an opportunity to read the judge's opinion, but the charge that racism is at hand here, you know, it's kind of sad. I of course, that's not what the legislature intended. Of course, that's not what I intended. Frankly, what we want to make sure we're doing is we want to make sure that our students, our schools, are not teaching or promoting racial division and among our kids. We want to make sure that they can learn our country's history without being taught different versions about history depending on their race. So the whole thought, listen, I'm an immigrant myself. I immigrated to this great country when I was 5 years old legally. And, you know, it's kind of sad when you see people having to resort to make a claim of racism. It just shows that they're out of other issues or facts that they can rely on when they all of a sudden just start charging racism.
You, of course, were one of the strong supporters of SB 1070. What do you think about Sheriff Arpaio and the White House actually saying they've now begun the paperwork, Steve Montenegro, to pardon the sheriff? Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, with regards to that, I'm not certain. I haven't heard that they're starting the paperwork on that bill. I don't know where that information came from, that there's paperwork in action. But, you know, that's something that this administration, the president, is going to decide and deal with on his own, if that's something he chooses to do, which he has full authority to do. And what I know is that, again, there's a lot of folks that are making charges of racism that, you know, frankly, they may be out of issues or facts, and it's never good for us to start throwing out the terms of racism. That's not, our country's better than that. Our foundation is built better on that, and we have to come together as Arizonans, as Americans, to make sure that we are building a better Arizona for our future, for our kids. And with regards to Sheriff Joe, you know, I have a lot of respect for him. I don't think that he's been treated fairly, and I think that with time we will see how this works out.
Okay, and the news reports are saying that the paperwork has begun. But regardless of that, you said Michelle Reagan. What troubles you the most about Secretary of State Reagan's job so far, Steve Montenegro?
Well, like I said, I think it's the if we look at the reports, all the news that has come out of that office, the trouble that has come out of that office the last few years, I think it's important to evaluate. You don't even have to take my word for it, Bill. You can see all the reports coming out of that office of the mistakes, of the errors being made, just not being able to run that office effectively. I think that Arizona deserves better, and I have a proven record that's going to demonstrate we can run that office and restore that integrity to the voting process to make sure that Arizonans have full trust in the elections process here in Arizona.
What do you think about what's called ballot harvesting, Steve Montenegro?
Well, I certainly think that this isn't something that's good. You know, we have to make sure, of course, everybody in the state, every citizen has the right to vote, and we have to make sure that they have full access and full ability to do just that. But we have to also understand that the election process is something that it's sacred. Now, a lot of people have given their life to make sure that we have that free right to vote and to elect our officials and for the people's voice to be heard. So we have to make sure that the process is done with integrity and that we're not allowing someone to take advantage of somebody else's vote. It should not happen, and we have to be vigilant to make sure that here in Arizona it does not happen.
All right, Steve Montenegro, where can people find out more about your run for Secretary of State?
Well, I appreciate that. They can look at our website, Steve Montenegro, my website, stevemontenegro.com. They can follow me on Twitter at Steve Montenegro. Listen, we have to make sure that we have competent leaders elected, and that's why I'm running. I really do believe that when the people hear the message, they find out what we've done and our record and how we've been effective, and what it is we're trying to do in the Secretary of State's office, that they're going to join in this effort, and we're going to be able to win and to make sure that Arizona has great representation in that office.
All right. State Senator Steve Montenegro. Senator, thank you for giving us a few minutes. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Steve Montenegro is running for the Secretary of State position in Arizona, and he was a big supporter of SB 1070, and he also was the sponsor of the Mexican-American Studies ban legislation, which yesterday a judge said that was racist legislation. So we asked him about all of that, and we're going to take our break right here. We will be back with, my goodness, he's been the head of the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus since 1980. Dr. Julian Ackerley joins us. A lot to talk with him about as we continue on the midweek edition of Buckmaster.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. The Twisted Tandoor, the legendary Indian food truck, now has a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu expands on the popular Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, it's at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive and on the web at thetwistedtandoor.com. Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by my favorite nursery for all things green. It's Green Things. I love what Jan and Jack have done. They took originally just about 4 acres along the Rito Riverwalk. It's now 13 acres, really a gardening destination in itself. 3384 East River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com is their website. Check out the website, but perhaps more, and more importantly, go buy for all of your plants and gardening supplies. I've been looking forward to this interview for a couple of weeks since we scheduled it with Dr. Julian Ackerley, the long time, actually since 1980, Dr. Ackerley has headed up the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. Dr. Ackerley, how are you, sir?
I am great, and how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. I have been looking forward to this because I have so many questions about the Boys Arizona, Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. I mean, it's an institution starting in 1939, but bringing it up to date, you've got all sorts of new things happening around the chorus.
That is right. The chorus, who has been in our community now for 78 years, has a revitalization happening right now that I think is pretty exciting for our community and surrounding communities. We call it a new generation of a Tucson tradition. And actually, this Saturday is going to be kicked off with our celebration day at our building, where Mayor Rothschild will come and unveil our new sign, which has our new logo on it. And
this is a new branding campaign, really.
It is.
Yeah.
It is a new branding campaign of something that Tucson has been very proud of for over 7 decades now, close to 8 decades. And along with that, in some strategic planning that our wonderful volunteers of our board of directors have done this past year in creating an operational plan and a strategic plan, we are expanding our program this fall by offering neighborhood choirs in 3 locations.
Really?
Yes, up in Oro Valley, in Vail, and in Sarita. Mm. So it will be the Northwest Voices, which will be up in Oro Valley. They were the pilot program that really had us decide that this was something that we really wanted to pursue. And then we're expanding it to the southeast over there in Vail Voices and then down in the Green Valley area at Sarita for the Sarita Singers.
Satellite campuses, if you will.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And service to those communities to break down any barriers that those families might have in regards to transportation to our building, which is at Pima Street in Craycroft, so that is really our central location, our central operation there.
And of course, you're pointing toward your 80th anniversary.
Yes, that is correct. And with these new neighborhood choirs and with this new revitalization of the new branding, mm-hmm. as you mentioned, we are very relevant to Tucson and Southern Arizona in 2017, as we were back in the 1940s, the 1950s, and the 1960s. And having opportunities like being on your show here today, mm-hmm. Bill, to get that message out to our community. I think it's really important because it's a vital service to the community and an incredible opportunity for young men and their families.
Well, think about all the young men have come through. I think John Denver was an alum. I don't know of any of the other famous people, but I know there probably are some, right, that have come through. You decided early on in your career as a music educator to get involved with the Tucson, Arizona Boys Chorus. That was in 1980, but there really has been a lot of stability over the years with directors, hasn't there?
Yes. To think that we are close to 80 years old,
right,
and in that whole span have only had four directors.
Whoa.
including our founder, who was there for 25 years.
Yeah. And he came out here, I understand. He had a tuberculosis issue.
Yes.
So he needed the dry air. But he was a singer?
Yes, he was. He was known as the San Dominican tenor, and he did a lot of radio broadcasts, which was the medium of the time for a lot of the entertainment. He came over from England, of course. He was born in Bromley, Kent, outside of London there, and was educated in England. Came over to the Washington, D.C., Virginia area where he did radio broadcasts. But then in 1936, moved down to Miami, Florida, and actually in 1937, established a boy choir down in Miami. But then he got sick, and so he moved out to Tucson. And the story is that in October of 1939, his name is Eduardo Caso. He was being treated by a respiratory therapist by the name of Helen Furstorf, who knew that he was a singer and said, "Would you give lessons to my son, Jimmy?" And so Jim Furstorf was the first chorister in October of 1939. And from there, it just grew. The first concert on Christmas Eve had eight boys, and he had to bolster the sound by getting two high school girls to stand behind them. So the only two girls that ever really sang were the boys' chorus. And then in the early 1940s, it just grew, and Mr. Caso was a great marketer and got community support, and that was the beginning of this wonderful tradition.
How does it work? The young people try out, or tell me about the process.
Yes. We have five different levels in our central choirs. We have the three new neighborhood choirs, but the entry level is the cadet choir, which is 6 and 7 year olds, and those boys do not need an audition. They just come and they start learning the basic music literacy that we provide in our program. Then we have a training chorus, town singers, which is our intermediate group, the touring chorus, which are mostly middle school boys, 6th and 7th and 8th graders. Those boys take the annual concert tour. And then we have the young men's ensemble, which are tenors and basses, and that's high school through college. So we basically have boys as young as 6, as old as college, up to 21, 22 years old.
So, wow.
Yes,
so we're talking lots of young people.
Yes. And their families. They can't do it without their parents.
Yes. Now, who pays for all of this, Dr. Ackerley?
Well, there is a tuition charged, but boys are not denied opportunity based on financial barriers. Our community has been really extraordinary in offering contributions to our program that enable us to have a very generous scholarship program. So we do have scholarshiping. We do have major fundraisers throughout the course of the year, including the selling of Bonanza books, our Masterpiece Musical Regal, which is coming up on November the 3rd, selling of Christmas trees. I know many in the community buy their trees, their fresh-cut trees from us, and our Family Fun Day in the spring. All of these fundraisers help us. And then, of course, we get corporate partnering and also some foundation support as well. So all of these together help to support the financial basis, which hopefully makes us financially stable in current times and in years to come.
You have renovations that have been completed, right, at
your music hall.
And really been brought up to standard. I think the Arizona Builders Alliance stepped up there.
They are extraordinary. The Arizona Builders Alliance has renovated our building, which is now 42 years old, and it looks better than ever.
You're located at?
5770 East Pima Street.
Okay. People have gone by there, I'm sure, seen the sign. Yeah.
Right. The last couple of weeks, they've seen the sign all covered up. Because
because you're going to unveil the new logo this weekend.
Yes.
What's this about? There's going to be, a new street sign, too.
Yeah, it's our
on the street.
It's the sign.
So that,
and our logo is on that sign. and okay. So we've been hiding, keeping it very hidden. Yeah, over
big, it's a big secret, you know. Yeah. Yes. So the ideal group, what are the numbers that you kind of like for your kind of your premier choir?
125 to 150 boys in our central choirs.
Okay.
We have a new element of the neighborhood choirs, and all the boys that come there will just be a new addition to our family. And so we really encourage anybody listening, if you know a boy mm-hmm. between 6 and 12 years old and would like to have them be a part of one of Tucson's longest-lasting musical traditions, now is the time, because we just started our rehearsals for this year, and after Labor Day we'll be starting up other choirs, and so this would be a kind time to give us a call.
Think of the publicity that your team has brought to Tucson from when you go all over the world.
Yes, yeah. It's... One columnist in
Musical Ambassadors.
Yeah. That's right. Well, one columnist in Chicago after one of our concerts said it was the best advertisement that Tucson could have, walking around and singing for Southern Arizona.
So your season really is getting all cranked up here.
Yep, we're starting up, just starting up, and it looks like it's going to be a fine season.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up with Dr. Ackerley, but people are invited to come out Saturday morning, right?
That's correct.
10 a.m., and the welcome will be at 10:15 by the mayor. So really, between 10 and noon, a lot going on. Folks invited to come by.
We would love to have everybody come. They're all welcome.
Website? Do you want?
Yes, it's boyschorus.org.
That's an easy one. All right. Dr. Ackerley, best of luck with the new season. Congratulations on really moving things forward here. That's
Thank
been
you,
the
Bill.
Theme of my show today.
Yeah.
Move forward. All right.
Yes.
All right. Coming
you.
Up this afternoon, we move forward. Mike Shaw, Mike Check from 4 to 5. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 9. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Congresswoman Martha McSally tomorrow. So hope you'll join us on behalf of John. Thank you so much, John, for your work the last couple of days. Bill Buckmaster saying, have
this
a great
Michael
afternoon.
Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.